Welcome to episode 282 of the TDR Now podcast, the first English-speaking podcast focusing on the Disney parks in Asia, including Tokyo Disney Resort, Hong Kong Disneyland, and Shanghai Disneyland. And we're coming to you directly from Japan. But guess what? We talk about other things, too, that are fun to do if you're traveling around the country. You can find us basically under TDR Explorer anywhere you look. I'm one of your hosts, Trish. You can find me at Dream Sweets Love on Twitter or on Instagram. I'm a city guide. I guess I'm the one who's going to be talking about exploring the Batcave and glamping today. And with me, as always, is the charismatic Chris. Hey, what's up?
Hello.
Hey.
Yes, I'm the other host, Chris, chief content editor for TDR Explore. And I'm the one that just got back from Hong Kong a few weeks ago, did the 40th anniversary stuff at Tokyo Disneyland, which we'll be talking about in a different episode, well, upcoming episode. Yeah. Not staying put, I guess. I'm the one not staying put.
Whoa, exciting.
That's a more distinct way to put it. Oh my goodness. I want to hear about this glamping thing because it's something I'm interested in.
Oh my God. Okay. So I love the aesthetic of camping. I love the equipment. I love camping equipment. I am obsessed with it. But I can't go camping because I don't like nature.
That's funny. Because like for me, I grew up going camping, like actual camping, because I lived in Northern Canada. So during the summers and stuff, we would go camping, tents and everything and chopping wood, going fishing, all that stuff. I didn't always enjoy it, but we did do it pretty much every summer. So I'm very used to it. So the thought of glamping, I don't know how to feel about it.
I like the idea of chopping wood.
But not actually doing it.
I do want to chop wood. I like chopping wood, but I also like to have the option to buy the wood already chopped if I need to.
Fair enough.
I think glamping is, there's different types of glamping, first of all. So there's like the glamping that's closer to camping where you have like a dome tent, but it still looks like a hotel room inside the tent, and you have a shower and like a bathroom and everything. And then there is the kind where you rent like a little house. I think they call it cottages, and that's what we did. And it's like a little house. It's amazing. There's like a little walkway, there's like a back area, and then like a back, like a patio area, and then like an outdoor area where you can do like a fire outdoors. And so what happened is, this is like a crazy story. You know, when I go to Disneyland, I never win anything. I never win the lottery. I always lose. Like whenever there's a contest, I have no hope of winning, right?
Yeah.
So I am subscribed to this magazine. You probably are too. Like I think people in Japan, a lot of foreigners in general, like subscribe to this magazine. Like it's an online magazine called Tokyo Weekender.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've heard of it, right?
Yes.
So they sometimes do contests and I'm like, oh, I'll enter any contest. It doesn't take a lot of time, you know? So I entered the contest and I completely forgot about it. And then I get this email and they're like, you won a glamping trip. And I'm like, what? And so we won this glamping overnight stay at this place called Glamping Villa Hans in Kawaguchiko. And it included, this is wild, man. I'm like, that's it. I've used up all my luck for like forever.
For the rest of your life.
It had a steak dinner and it's cooked by like a chef and the chef's assistant on your outdoor area of your little house. And it was a collaboration with Benjamin Steakhouse, which they have in Tokyo. And I think they have in other places too, like maybe the US or something like that. And breakfast was included. It was wild. Even included was like a strawberry. They had like a strawberry festival going on. So we got like this little strawberry dessert area, which was open to us. It's like really nice. And so the only thing not included was like whatever we ordered room service and like if we like just bought extra stuff. But it was like fantastic and it was for two people. So we're like, okay, we're going to go to Kawaguchiko. I told my husband, if you're busy, I can bring the child. And he's like, no, I'm going. And I'm like, okay, let's go. The teen stayed at home. Poor baby. He had a reunion with his friends, though, so he was fine. And so, I don't know. I hate nature. I don't hate nature. I like nature, but I don't like to be in nature, like, too much. But I love caves. I'm obsessed with caves, okay? Uh-huh. And the last time we were in Kawaguchiko, we did, like, a caving excursion done by a local guide in the Jukai, in, you know, the haunted forest. the forest that's under Mount Fuji, the volcanic forest. And so this time I was like, you know what? We have never been to the public caves that you can go normally without like a guide. So I'm like, we should try that out this time. So when we got there, it was our goal to try to hit up the three big caves, right? One of them is closed part of the year because it's a bat cave. And so I guess it's like to protect the bats because they're kind of endangered. And so to get to Kawaguchiko, it's kind of like, you've been there before, right?
Yeah.
There is a train that you can take that's going to like Fuji-Q Highland.
Mm-hmm.
And you can take the highway bus, which is like the easiest way. But the times that we've been here were like around Golden Week, which we took the train that time and it was a nightmare. It was like literally packed. All the seating was full and it was like standing room only all the way to Mount Fuji, like the Fuji-Q Highland. And it was a nightmare. So like after that, never again. So we booked the bus. And I forgot that tourism is open again and you have to book the buses early. So we're like trying to book the bus at the last minute. I'm like, oh no, I totally forgot. So if you're going to Kawaguchiko and it's high season, try to book a week in advance if you want to get like an early bus time. You can get reservations like a few days before like we did, but you'll have a later bus time, so you'll lose out on a good part of the day because it takes a long time to get there from Tokyo. I want to say like 2.5 hours, something like that.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, so if you're visiting during like, heaven forbid, Golden Week or cherry blossom season, try to book a week in advance if you want to get an early time on the bus. And I really, really recommend the bus. I don't know about you, Chris. Like, what do you think?
Bus, yeah. For that kind of thing, bus.
Mm-hmm. Bus all the way.
Bus is the way to go.
Yeah. And, you know, tourism has opened up. We now have international tourists again. And it was chaotic. It was chaos. Really chaotic because the infrastructure is just not there. And you can tell the locals are irritated. The tourists are in a panic because they don't know what to do or where to go or what system of payment to use. The tourism office is like overflooded with people. It's just wild. So it took us a little bit of time to figure out the bus system. And there's basically like for the tourism heavy areas, there's other buses too, but like the three main lines are like colored lines. And there's one, which is like the hellish line, which is like the red line. And at first we thought that was the line we had to be in. But for like the other areas, like kind of the caves and stuff, you use like the blue or green line. And so when you get there, kind of like try to figure out the color system. There is nobody there to help you. There might be one person directing the buses, but they're super busy. So they're not going to help you. And so they're separated. The red line and the other two lines are completely separated. And the blue and green line have a much shorter line. So you actually don't have to worry so much about the time that you have to wait in line for those buses, like how long the line is, but those buses come less often, but they go to a completely different area. So Chris, like when you went to Kawaguchiko, what did you do there?
That was so long ago. I honestly don't remember. That was like when I first got here, like 10 years ago.
Oh my God.
I can't remember. I just know I went.
Our main goal the first day was like the three caves. So there is the bat cave, the Komori no Ana, and there's the wind cave, and then there's the ice cave. And so they always, on the TV, they're always promoting the ice cave. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're listening to this podcast, skip the ice cave. The ice cave is fine, but it takes like about like a couple of minutes to walk through it. And it's super short. The people are not super nice there. And it has the most signage and the least to see. If you do want to go do the caves, I really, really recommend the Wind Cave, which is right nearby. It has ice inside it. If you must see ice, the Wind Cave also has it. It's much longer. It's next to a big souvenir shop if you want to buy souvenirs. But other than the Wind and Ice Cave, which are the most heavily promoted, I super duper duper recommend the Bat Cave. It's kind of amazing. It's the longest cave out of all three. It's not open all year, so you have to pay attention to the dates of when it's open. But okay, so In addition to this like cave, which actually has like some pretty difficult routes, like you have to like crawl on your hands and knees to kind of like go through part of it. They have like a little thing that you can grab onto to guide you if you have difficulty moving through there. But yeah, they have a pretty difficult course on the left-hand side. And it's super long. And the people that work there are super, super sweet. They actually care about the environment and what they're doing. They have walking trails through the Jukai. This is kind of amazing. They have this museum for this fish called the Kunimas. Mm-hmm. Kunimas salmon. It's called de-extinct Kunimas salmon. So what happened was there was this fish, right? And it used to be from a completely different area in Japan. And they fished it into extinction and it was gone. There was like this big reward. If anybody could find Kunimas, it was from Akita Prefecture, right? So, you know, Akita is a completely different area. And they were like, this fish is extinct. It's totally gone. What they didn't know, or what they completely forgot, was that they had brought Kunimas to Lake Saiko, which is in this area, right? And I guess they brought it for fishing or whatever, and they totally forgot it was there. And then 70 years later, they find this fish, which everyone thought was extinct, and it's in Lake Saiko. So now it exists in a completely different prefecture, and it's the only place in Japan where you can find it. And they have a little museum for the Kunimas salmon, and it's kind of amazing. And it's free. And they also have like a museum for like the Bat Cave, and it has a bunch of like Batman memorabilia posters because it's the, you know, it's like the Bat Cave, like Batman. And it has like little bat mummies, and it's like really interesting and like really kind of like quirky and cute. And it's like a whole vibe. I love this area that you can explore. Like out of the three caves, 100% go to the Bat Cave, the Saiko Bat Cave. Highly recommend.
Bats freak me out.
No, but the bats, okay. So the bats are sleeping. You're not going to see them. They have their own little private area that's closed off. And it says, be quiet. The bats are sleeping. Don't bother them. So you're not actually going to see any bats. You will see lava domes, you'll see lava stalactites, you'll see lava shelf, ropey lava, all of that, but you will not see bats, probably.
Okay. In my mind, I'm just imagining all these flood of bats like flying overhead.
Oh my God.
And I have to like duck so I don't get hit. That's kind of what comes to mind. That would be kind
of epic.
Just like out of a movie, I guess. I don't know.
Right? Yeah. It sounds like something like out of like the Batman movies or something like Batman has like a nightmare in the beginning of the movie or something.
Wow. That sounds cool though.
It is really, really cool. So while I don't like living in nature for extended periods of time, for short periods, I really like it. I love caving. And this area of Mount Fuji is like really fantastic if that's what you're interested in. And there's also like private tours, which we've done in the past, which are completely fantastic and with knowledgeable guides that can tell you about the nature of the area and how the Jukai was created because of the volcanic activity at Mount Fuji. And it's like very, very cool.
Was it pretty busy with foreign tourists? Because I know you said the bus was pretty hectic, but like were these caves and stuff full of visitors?
So luckily for us, the caves were in the area that's not so busy. On the second day, we did see some people because on the second day, we went to another place in the same area. But actually, the caves were not super busy with foreign tourists. I guess like maybe the ice cave and maybe the wind cave, we saw more people. But like the bat cave, hardly anybody, like nobody. Only the second day, we saw like one, like two people that got off the bus to go there.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So it sounds like it's a little, I don't want to say unknown, that's not the word. Off the beaten path, maybe?
Yeah, Bat Cave is a little bit off the beaten path, definitely. And it's the best quality cave out of all three, I would say. Although if you want to see the ice, go to Wind Cave because they have lots of ice in there.
Ironic.
Yeah, absolutely. So after that, we're like, okay, let's go check in. So we went to the glamping place and it was the main building was beautiful. It was so pretty. And so they checked us in. This lady gave us welcome drinks and then gave us like a little booklet explaining everything about the place, like the different things you could do and how to make a fire and all that fun stuff. They also have activities like hiking or star viewing and things like that. So you can do other things as well, like canoeing and all of that. After that, we went to check out the room. We're like, wow, it's amazing. We did the whole glamping thing. We did the dinner. The chef was super charming. He cooked the steak to perfection. And he's like, look, if you want to cook it yourselves a little bit, I'm going to leave the barbecue open for you. And I'm like, no, you did it perfectly. Thank you. After that, we ordered wine. We made fire. And then there was another thing. There was like activities. But like they close after a certain time because they have to get ready like to prepare dinner for everybody. And so one of the people at the woodcutting place was super, super nice. And they're like, hey, it's closed. But if you come back, we can teach you how to make kindling. They had like this kindling, like not a machine, but like a thing where you can hit it and it makes kindling. And that was safe to do at night. So they let us do that after hours, which was really cool. We did the skillet breakfast in the morning, which you can do either in the main building or you can do privately in your cottage. So we decided to do it privately. And then like what's cool about this place is they also have other stuff that I had no idea. Apparently they have a little cinema that you can go watch movies in that's on the other side, and like an athletic course with like slackline and everything, and you can do archery, and there's like a sauna that you can do. So like there's like a whole bunch of other activities. I think you can probably spend a few days there and it would be like pretty relaxing and fun if you're into outdoor activities.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I think the Kawaguchi area in general, like, yeah, the regular sightseeing activities that tourists do, like museums and shopping and, you know, going to see the local famous sites and everything. But I think why a lot of people go, like people that live here, is to do outdoor activities. So you'll see people like not just like at glamping resorts, but just like in general, camping by the lake, doing water sports on the lake, fishing, like any outdoor activity you can think of. Like Kawaguchiko is actually a really fun place to go and relax. So I think that's why a lot of people that are doing domestic travel, why they go there.
That sounds really interesting. Like that's not high on my list to do, I guess, but like I'm interested in it.
I think because you like camping, like you could do legit camping there. And I think that would be really fun for you, right?
I think so.
Like real camping, like outdoor, rugged life. It's really hard. It's hard for me. I can't do it. And, you know, my husband's a city person, so he can't do it either. Although he has this dream of catching an octopus in Urayasu. And I'm like, okay.
Sure.
I'm like, you better watch those YouTube videos on how to prep the octopus. I'm like, octopus, you shouldn't catch anyway because it's really smart. You know, it's like kind of cool. But like, you know, like other things to do, like one of the things that we really wanted to do on the second day was to go to this place that we passed. It's called Saiko. So this is also around Lake Saiko, which is close to Kawaguchi. And it's called Saiko Iyashi no Sato Nemba. And what happened was there was this mountain village. And about 60 years ago, so not so long ago, actually, you know how it gets here sometimes that there is, you know, the summertime typhoons and there can be very, like, quite heavy rain. And unfortunately, that year it caused a landslide, which destroyed the village. So what they did with this place is they reconstructed the village. They took all these buildings, these historic buildings, so you could see what it used to be like. And they recreated them and they made like an outdoor museum. And it's inside the different houses, there's different things that you can do. Like there's restaurants and cafes, but there's also local artisans that make local handcraft goods. And there's some different museums explaining what happened with the landslide and how they hope to educate people. So hopefully they can prevent things like that from happening in the future. And it's really beautiful. You've got a gorgeous view of Mount Fuji. You can learn about the history of the area. You can see the architecture, which is really interesting because like here we also have like a kind of very much smaller version in the, you know, the Urayasu Culture Museum. And you can see the architecture for the fisherman houses village. So it was interesting to see what the houses near the mountains, like the kind of architecture that they use there, because it's very, very different from the houses that used to exist in our area. So really cool, educational, fun. You can buy the famous hotto, which you can find all over Kawaguchi. Very delicious, hearty, like a noodle soup, which is like super delicious. And they have, of course, a restaurant there that has it as well. Just really lovely.
It sounds like you had a really nice weekend.
Yeah, we did. My husband hadn't been on vacation throughout the entire pandemic. So it was nice for him to get to go out. And it was nice to, yeah, enjoy the outdoors. What's really cool, too, about like Kawaguchiko and either regular camping or glamping in general is it's a great kind of like vacation experience, like during pandemic times. Things are much better now, but I think a lot of people still like have reservations about being around big crowds. So it's kind of nice if that's like an experience that you're looking for. It's a really great vacation option where you're not in a massively crowded area. You can enjoy fresh air. You have the option of doing things privately in your tent or in your little cottage, or you can also join in the community activities as well. You have like that option.
Sounds really lovely.
Yeah.
Nice and relaxing.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. We definitely want to go back. And I'm definitely thinking of bringing the teen. He's not a child anymore. Because he's like, I want to do archery. And I'm like, oh my God, me too. And my husband's in the background shaking his head, no. But I think he would really enjoy the dome tents because it's kind of like more the camping aesthetic.
Yeah.
So I think he would really like that.
Did you get a view of Mount Fuji at all?
Oh, yes.
Oh, good. Okay.
We lucked out so bad. It was a perfect clear day. And you know, it's spring, you know, usually when you have like that clear view, it's like the dead of winter,
right?
When it's really cold. But no, it was a spring day, perfectly clear, not a cloud in the sky. And it's just like one of those postcard pictures. Like I actually have a picture on my Instagram if you want to go check it out. It's beautiful. So we were just very, very lucky with the weather. You know, spring, it rains. It rains on and off. Yeah, we lucked out 100%. Views of Mount Fuji all around Kawaguchi. Oh my God. Okay. So before we finish up here, speaking of Mount Fuji views, there is a very, very popular international tourist destination right next to Kawaguchiko Station. Can you guess what it is?
It's not the Suicide Forest, is it?
No. Don't go to the Suicide Forest.
It's not that. Okay.
I mean, the Jukai is a really beautiful forest. Like, it's sad. I feel bad for the locals that that's what it's known for, because it's actually really, really interesting and really gorgeous. And you should never, ever, ever, just as a disclaimer, ever go into the forest by yourself or really without a guide. It's incredibly dangerous. Yes, you could unfortunately run into a person who's committed suicide, but also just in general, because of the way it's formed, because of the volcanic layers, there's a lot of sinkholes. That's why there's a lot of really interesting caves. And if you should happen to fall into one, you know, there's a big chance that nobody would ever find you. So please, please be careful. Do not go into the forest without a guide, like a registered guide for that area. Stay on the paths. There are plenty of wonderful walking paths if you want to see the area. And, you know, for example, at Lake Saiko, the Bat Cave, there was really great walking paths, and you can see how the land is formed through the volcanic activity, but never, never, never go in there by yourself, please.
So, okay. Obviously, I was wrong. So what was it?
Oh, no, you're not wrong. I mean, people do go there for that, but that is not.
No, that is not the thing. No, I meant you asked me to guess and I guessed wrong. So what is it?
Okay. You'll never guess in your lifetime. It is, drum roll, a Lawson.
Huh?
It is a Lawson.
What?
We could not figure it out. So we went inside the Lawson and we're like, why? We asked the staff, we're like, what? What's going on? Because they actually had signage. They had signage outside. They're like, don't cross the road illegally. Don't block people. Don't block traffic. Please don't be a nuisance. And so what happens is the store person told us that apparently somebody famous from overseas took some kind of picture, I guess, in front of it. And it kind of blew up on social media, like the Mount Fuji over Lawson or something like that was like the hashtag. And I don't know if the person was, they were either maybe from Korea or China. And it was insane. It's all these people posing in front of this Lawson. And it's to the point where they have a ton of signage because there's so many people, there's so many tourists. Tourists from overseas. It's like really, really like fascinating to me. And this has become like this massive tourist attraction there.
I never would have guessed.
Yeah. Other interesting things. You can have Mount Fuji curry rice is a popular tourist food near the station. If you're looking for more traditional food, hotto, those kind of like udon-esque noodles with lots of veggies. Really, really fantastic. And yeah, lots of fun stuff to check out. Yeah, but I think that's pretty much it. There's, of course, lots of other things to do. There's like a ton of museums and there's like the Kawaguchi Lake area itself has like a ton of things around it to do. And all around that area are fantastic views of Mount Fuji.
Interesting. Okay. Well, like I said, it sounded like you had a really lovely weekend and mm-hmm. I'm glad you won and used up all your luck.
That's it. There's no more luck. Over.
None. Well, I'm going to have to look this up.
Yeah.
For maybe a future reference.
Yeah. So the place was called, one more time, Glamping Villa Hans in Kawaguchiko.
Awesome. Well, before we go, explorers, we want to thank some wonderful explorers who are supporting us over on Patreon. So if you want to support the show, you can head on over to patreon.com/TDRnow. And a big thank you to Acro Disney Girl, Adam, Amanda C, Amy B, Amy C, Mama Explorer, Benjamin, Brent M, Carrie, Crispy, Claire, Claudia, Dave, David, Baker, Kevin, Shani B, Harry, Marina, Beth, and Eli.
And thank you, Jamie, Jose, Kathy, Lee, Marie H, Michelle, Murray, Sophie, Spoopy, Thomas, Kay, Alexandra, Lizzie, Amy and Andy, Dana, Cassandra, Annie, Sonia, WW, and Paige.
And remember to rate, review us on, you know, whatever you're listening to us on, Spotify, iTunes, whatever. And yeah, if you have any questions or anything, send them to us over on social media. We'll talk about them here on the show. And you can find us over on our website at tdrexplorer.com and all over social media under the same name. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, Chief Content Editor for TDR Explorer. And I want to go glamping, I think.
Oh my gosh.
I might have to do that at some point.
You gotta.
And joining us always is the wonderful Patricia.
Hey guys, I'm a city guide for the city of Urayasu. If you're in town, stop by the tourism office on Fridays and hopefully you'll find me there. Thank you for listening and keep exploring.
All right, explorers, we'll see you in the next one.